Now, looking around today in the development of various religious beliefs, we find something that I think we should bear very carefully in mind, that we are finding new ways of expressing our integrities. There are new beliefs coming along. Some of them are pretty bad. Some of them are pretty good. But all of them have some bearing upon the recognition of the need for change. We've got to move from theory to practice. We've got to stop talking about brotherhood and start practicing it. We have to gain gradually the strength to dominate the mistakes which we are inclined to make. Now, to do that, we have to have some kind of strength. We cannot be strong internally if our philosophy of life is based on an incomplete pattern of believing. We cannot have the strength inside if we do not have certain values inside. We have to recognize as superior to all considerations the infinite purpose that is locked within ourselves. Somewhere in this little body of ours is a spark of infinity. This spark has always been there, and it always will be there. And it is representing constantly an infinite need that is awaiting fulfillment. Generation after generation, embodiment after embodiment, we allow this germ to remain undeveloped. We have within ourselves this principle that says, love your neighbor. But when the time comes to practice it, we say, love ourselves. To heck with the neighbor. We have to recognize that the answer to our ethics is the fact that there is an ethic in ourselves. All of the virtues we seek around us are in us. The only reason we believe in them is because we are them. We couldn't believe at all. And yet with believing, we still do not fulfill the action necessary to transform a belief into a living fact. In order to transform our believings into facts, we have to practice them. And we have all kinds of problems of this nature. Now, our ancestors, working with this problem, found out that there were certain people who apparently were particularly endowed with the probabilities of growth immediately. There's something in them that saw the need and was so vitalized by that seeing that they had to transform their life to the fulfillment of it. So we have constantly around us this recognition that these changes must come in order to survive. We know we cannot go on as this goes. We know that we are going to exhaust all the resources that we have. But we also know that there was no intention on the part of the creating power to leave us as a derelict, a dead planet floating in space. We were not supposed to cease. We were not supposed to die. We were not supposed to live in constant conflict until we destroy the world and ourselves. The thing that has come about is that there has been a gradual increase of selfishness, a gradual increase of the corruption of values. Now, the divine principle, the ethics of things, will always stand with value. At the moment we break the rules, we break the contact with reality. The moment we break the laws of life, we destroy our own lives. Therefore, we must get these things back through conscious effort. Now, in conscious effort, I think there's one interesting point. We have plenty of churches. We have a great many people and various groups that are sincerely interested in making a better world. But for the most part, these people are simply members of something. They go and assemble and discuss matters. They have conferences. They have meetings and clubs, delegations, which are sent here and there and elsewhere. But all of it, in a sense, has to do only with a kind of talking. It has, again, a statement of what is necessary, but not a doing of what is necessary. We have got to begin to take hold of ourselves and look ourselves over something like this. Then someone can say, well, I think I want to be more peaceful. I want to have understanding. I want to have, as my years advance, I want to have a gentle life. I want to have a friendly life and a kindly one. Well, that's fine. But between that kindly knife and our present state, there are a few problems to solve. We have, for instance, a relative we haven't spoken to in 40 years. And one I told me one day, if they ever speak to me, I'll drop dead. Now, this person, with this attitude, has become an active member of a religion. But they still hate the relative, just as they did before. In other words, it does not change the attitude because they change the name of the affiliation. Another individual is very much against everything because they've had two or three bad marriages, and they'll never get over the loss of the money that they wasted or the time and health that was expended in these conflicts. Therefore, they want peace. They want to live in harmony. They want to nourish the good life, but they also want to remember to the bitter end that they were deceived and deluded by material circumstances. Another person still has all their life been a bit of a gourmand. They've eaten things they shouldn't eat, all that type of thing. So around 50, they get chronic dyspepsia. And when they get chronic dyspepsia, well, of course, one of the first things they do will be to join a religious organization, because that's very good for dyspepsia. But the trouble is, after they join it, they do nothing to change themselves and the dyspepsia stays. So we find a member of an organization demanding or hoping for good health who joins the organization and remains sick. Or maybe get a placebo for a few months or so, takes on the emotional stress of joining, but after a while gets right back where they were. Everything that has to do with growth, as the Greeks pointed out, and also most of the Oriental peoples, and even the Near Eastern peoples, the beginning of a reformation of living is an acceptance of discipline. The individual must prove his own integrity, or he cannot go on in the development of his spiritual resources. Now, it doesn't mean he may not try. But there is an automatic function that the individual who does not improve his own nature will not receive instruction reserved for those who do improve their natures. All the paths that lead to wisdom, true wisdom, are through purification, through dedication, and through the gradual restoration of integrities. The individual who wants to be wiser has got to live better. And they've got to live better before they become wiser. They cannot assume that when they fill out a blank or something of that nature, that they are ready for advanced instruction in something when they have never corrected one of their own shortcomings. This constant need for growth calls for a constant increase in discipline. Now, as the Greeks pointed out very successfully, when you grow, the instruction comes. The problem of finding the teacher is not very serious, because the finding of a teacher means that the development within the person makes it possible for them to recognize a condition superior to that which they before held. So that in Greece, those who really wanted to get wise, true wisdom, went through periods of discipleship and novitiates. The Pythagorean school required 5 years before it accepted a pupil for the development of higher things. Before they went into meditation, before they went into esoteric doctrines, before they studied rounds and races and all this type of thing, they had to do the discipline of purification, regeneration, and in a sense, relaxation. They had to clear their own mind of its fables and foibles before it was available for the study of realities. Therefore, the individual who joins up, already burdened by every problem they can think of, joins some religious group in the hope of it curing them, should stop and remember that that is not the way nature does it. If they cure themselves, then the religious group can help them to grow. But as each individual must correct his own faults, no doctrine is a panacea for the failure of the person to discipline his own nature. So we now have this problem of going on forever, which we suggest in the title of our lecture this morning. Here we are, wondering what that goes on. How far do we go? Who knows? Who knows what lies beyond any point that astronomy or physics or even higher mathematics could ever point it out? We are in the presence of an infinite life in infinite manifestation. We are in the presence of eternal realities unfolding through us and becoming clear as we become clear and becoming confused as we become confused. But all through this entire process, there is an infinite going. We do not know what is next for man. When humanity makes the adjustment to the present problem and outgrows itself, what's going to happen to it? There have been various Oriental beliefs and so forth concerning what is going to happen to it. The entire internal structure of the human being will change as their ethics and their integrities change. In Raja Yoga, for example, the two great systems of the nervous ganglionic centers of the sympathetic glandular structure and the central nervous system. These two are like the caduceus of Hermes, two serpents wound around the spinal cord. As man unfolds, these two are going to become one, and the two nervous systems will unite. And in so doing, will ever end the conflict between the cerebrospinal and the autonomic nervous systems. This means an entirely different humanity, different in appearance, because appearance must take on the needs of the powers within the body. Differences of opinion, but always a greater growth, by means of which new revelations of internal power are represented. Also, with each of these discoveries, there comes another sensitivity. Today, through the abuse of psychic faculties, we can get into serious trouble. As these faculties become more and more developed, as the esoteric side of our own consciousness is released, we are more sensitive than we ever have been now, or could be now. And the Lord might cause us a headache now if we knew more and were more informed. And we made a mistake, particularly intentionally. We tried to corrupt or misuse power. We would find a tragedy far greater than would face us today. Because we know more. And the more we know, the more is expected of us. The more we grow, the more growth becomes natural to us. And the time will probably come when the human being will become very much more complete than anything we see today. The human being will be able to perpetuate itself. It will have its own ways of life and death. It will have its own bodies and patterns which may not even resemble what we have now. But always it will be a growth towards reality. And reality is always one thing, a kind of perfect harmony in which the individual's life is in perfect harmony with the divine life stream. Until we are in harmony with the stream of life, we will suffer. But when we become able to join in with growth as a principle, growing in as in integrities of these prayers, we will find that we have come a long way on our journey. So somewhere in the long, forgotten past, behind all that we have ever thought of, have ever known, were aeons beyond the stars, sparks flying, floating in infinite space, gradually embodied, creating great waves of life, great orders of creation, great kingdoms of nature, gradually going on and on, but always for a purpose, the purpose being that through the experiencing of all things, we become capable of disciplining ourselves. And through the experience of this discipline, we are able to be patient with those who are yet too weak. And we will also have the discipline and the courage to protect the values which we have discovered. The whole world of religion and the world of ethics is man learning to respect that which is best. and having learned to respect it, learns to practice it. And all this is part of the growth. We don't know where it's going to end. We hear people, and the gods are referred to as ever living, eternal powers in space. Far beyond anything we call galaxies or black holes, the great universe of visible phenomena gradually fades away. Little by little, the worlds become shadows, and a new world reveals itself, a higher step in the great laws and practices of creation. And this higher step, we go forward. Forward to what? We go forward to a destiny for which we were intended. For it is which it must be remembered that in a sense we are all gods in the making. And when we become gods in reality, we will be the most humble of all creatures. We will not be proud that we rule. We will be sad that we cannot rule better. Little by little, life is coming to every atom of space. Every tiny molecule must grow up. Every grain of sand must become a star. And we are part of the carpentry. We are part of the working crew that brings this about. We are already transmuting all kinds of forces within our own bodies. Our own alchemy is at work. Our own Kabbalah is estimating and studying our proportions. Our understanding of astronomy is broadening out to recognize the universe of values rather than of the universe of forms. Everywhere we are growing, and growth begins with sincerity. And sincerity begins with the realization that as long as there are mistakes in our own thinking, we are going to suffer, at least a little. But if we correct these mistakes, we will then become disciplined servants of the largest and most noble of all causes, the regeneration of universal life and the fulfillment of an infinite plan that is beyond our comprehension.